Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 16, I like it in the New Living Translation. It says, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." Isn't that well said? Because when you talk about redeem, you're talking about buying something back. Well, time you can't buy back. We spend time and it's over. You're moving through time, and once it's gone, that day is over. So what do? We're to make the most of every opportunity. I used to wish away my days. I was always waiting for something. Anybody else? If we could just get here, I'd be good. And you know what? I'd get there and I wasn't good. And then I realize as I get older, wow, I've let a lot of things go, a lot of opportunities. And so we don't want to live in regret. And the way to avoid regret, you live in front of regret. How do you do that? You make good decisions today. People have asked me, what's your 10-year plan, Pastor? Ask me what 10 days looks like. Now there's business guys, Mac Hammond's one that comes to mind. They'll have a corporate plan and they have benchmarks and goals, and you press toward the mark of the prize. You got short-term, intermediate goals and long-term goals. And you know, that's good. But I just know the way the Lord's wired me is I need to do today what's right for today. And in 10 years, we'll be where we're supposed to be. We're there with a machete. Shing, shing, shing. It's a walk of faith, but we're having to carve the path a lot of times. I was telling Karen, listen, let's start praying in a way that we're 6 months out. And so that way, she laughed out loud. Did you hear her laugh? She laughed out loud because that was a desire, but it wasn't reality. That's not who we are. We're just going to keep chopping. And there are times, listen, that we get to move with a little bit of acceleration. Those are fun. Pioneers, we don't get to do that often. But anyway, we're just going to seize the opportunities. Amen. Verse 17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Man, once you establish what God's will is, anything else is unwise. When you know what the will of God is, stand. Verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine." That's good advice. "In which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, this is very, very interesting. There's actually in the Greek a play on the word. According to the verb tense, it says, "but be filled." It's literally saying, "but be being filled." It's present tense, repeated action. So we are to be in a state of being filled with the Spirit. And it is contrasted with getting drunk. Anybody ever been drunk? Let me look this way. I've been drunk. I drank enough for all of us. I drank enough probably to float this building. Most of it I don't remember. Praise God I didn't kill anybody. It's good to remind myself where I came from, because there was a day I had no control over it. But today I'm free. And so it's being contrasted. What is the significance of being drunk? You lose your inhibitions. I got drunk in the Spirit at some Mark Brzee meetings. It's a Tuesday morning. It's the night meetings where the Holy Ghost moves. The morning is just, you know, stuff. Prayer, maybe. Man, I got sauced. I mean, I was lit. That's the most drunk I've ever been. And normally you collect yourself. You start walking to the car and you think, okay, this will dissipate. It'll start to wear off. As I'm walking out, my knee is doing this. It was the funniest thing, because I had a torn ACL, and as long as I had my faculties, I can walk fairly normal, but with my faculties as inebriated in the Holy Ghost, it wasn't working right, like rubber leg, there he goes. And then we're sitting at a table, and actually this is one of the first times we got around Pastor Randy. And so here we are at this table, and Pastor Randy's looking at me like, oh my God, what's this guy's problem? And I'm talk about a first impression. I'm the last guy that does that. But we're sitting at a table, and Robert May is telling us about his five-year-old son. We used to work together, and he's showing me pictures, and I bust out laughing. I mean, it was so inappropriate. I'm laughing like, this dude's got a funny face, you know. I'm singing Dean Martin. because the music is playing. What was it, Macaroni Grill or something like that? And I'm hearing, ain't that a kick in the head? I was having a good time. Yes. Anyway. So we want to be drunk in the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And I tell you what, when you get to that place of saturation in God, it can be like you're drunk. Amen. Usually it's the wrong spirits that people are getting drunk on. But he's telling us that we don't want excess. We don't want natural drunkenness. We want to be immersed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then it goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we did just a few moments ago, is we spent time making a song out of our spirit. Spiritual songs, that in the Greek is ode pneumaticos. It's literally songs of the Spirit. And so what do? We're singing in the Spirit. We're bringing it out of our hearts to Him. And who are we making the melody to? It's not to one another. It's to the Lord. Amen? Then it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Now, we're rolling up on Thanksgiving, so there'll be a good emphasis. I love that we have a national holiday that's centered around being thankful, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that are not thankful. They're ungrateful, and we'll get into some of that as we go. And then it says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. What we're going to talk about today, as I said, is being filled with the Spirit. I found myself, because of pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and a massive adjustment schedule-wise, the way it used to work is Saturday was the day of preparation, and I would get everything ready for service, and then Sunday morning, get up at 4 a.m., it's all about being at your peak on Sunday morning. But now we're meeting later in the day. And so I worked on the well today. That's a huge adjustment. So I found myself pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And then I found myself dry. Anybody ever been there? You're dry. You realize somebody needs something from me. I felt like one of those sponges you haven't used in a really long time that sits up in the kitchen window. And when somebody's dry like that, you got to be really careful how you handle it. It's brittle. It'll fall apart right in your hands. And so that's kind of how I felt. And so I went to the Word and began to see this. And so it's amazing, just the last 48 hours, how the Lord has changed that. And so that's what this is all about. The first key, and we're getting all the keys right there from Ephesians 5, is walk cautiously. Walk cautiously. When it says walk circumspectly, that literally means walk cautiously. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 5. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How many of you have been tempted to lean on your own understanding? You're tempted to go with what you can figure out. Well, all I need to know is what His will is, what the will of the Lord is. Once I know that, I got it. Doesn't matter what I can understand. I don't have to know how every aspect of an engine works. I just need to know what it does, that it works, right? I don't need to know all of the subtleties and nuances, so I'm going to trust that whoever designed the engine knows what they're doing. Amen? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Man, that's awesome. And He shall direct your paths. So when you're checking in with God and you're asking Him for the course of your life, this is what it means to walk cautiously. A lot of us will have a tendency to do what we can figure out. But there are times that God is asking you to do something that's outside of your understanding, and you have to go back to your relationship with Him, which insists that He's to be trusted. His trustworthiness is provable. He's holy. We'll get into that next week. I am that I am. He's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It will make you healthier. Just to obey God, to follow God, makes you healthier. The second key is seize every opportunity. We read there in Ephesians 5, verse 16 from the New Living Translation, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. How many of you know these days are evil? And I got news for you. As you read through the book, you're going to find out it's going to get darker. It gets darker. That means our light, in contrast, is much brighter. And nations are going to come to our light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Deep darkness, gross darkness is going to cover the people, but the nations, leaders, people will come to your light. Just shine. The word opportunity, just from the dictionary, just means a chance that offers some kind of advantage. Go over to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, look at verse 12, and it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Notice it didn't say, but if the desire comes. It didn't say if. It's not a possibility that God's word can be broken. If he said it, it will come to pass. It's when it comes to pass. Has anybody ever had faith failures, what we call a faith failure? Something you were believing for and it went a different direction. Okay, what does that do? That makes you start to question a lot of things. Anybody else? When the desire comes, it's a tree of life. The desire will come. It's not a possibility that it won't. And let me say this. The person that seizes opportunity is the person that sees opportunity. The person that will seize opportunity is the person that sees it. You have to see it. Some people are so focused on what is not that they can't see the opportunities. In fact, we talked about what happens to your brain when you complain. It starts to rewire itself so you will complain on autopilot. Like you brush your teeth. You don't have to give brain power to thinking about every little thing. Your brain will wire itself to do that. Well, the opposite is true. If you will program yourself to see the good, to see the positive, to see the opportunity, you will see it. And if you see it, now you can grab it. You can take advantage of it. Amen? There's always a bright side. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It can be bleak. It can be grim. It can be bad. There's always a bright side. And people that are positive will find that bright side, and that's what we illuminate. Now, go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. And the third key is worship him. Spend time with him. There's no substitute for that. That's what happened in my life. I just found myself so busy that I didn't have my regular time with him. My regular time was built in a routine. It's something that I scheduled. And so once the schedule got changed, I found myself without that time. So now I have to manage my schedule. I do not like it when my schedule gets handed to me. Anybody else enjoy that? You get to work and all of a sudden, I thought I was going to work on this. No, you're going to work on that. Sometimes there are things that are outside of our control, but we trust God with all our heart and make sure that we're spending time with him. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. There's thanksgiving again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now we see that again, singing to the Lord. There's something about offering praise to God. There's something about it. And when we do that, we get filled. The fourth key is be thankful. We saw there in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 20. And it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. One of the first things I did with these students that I had is we went outside And I said, everybody go get a blade of grass. And then I used the Andrew Womack analogy. It's like you could take all the smartest minds on the earth and put them together, and they can't make one of these. This gives off what I need, and I give off what it needs. I said, it's a balance. God is right here. He's not the blade of grass, but this is evidence of the Creator. This is creation. We can't make this. We can make stuff that looks like it, but it's not alive. It doesn't have photosynthesis. People say, well, where's God? They're without excuse. There is a Bible when you look at creation. At night, if you look up at the stars, it screams God. It screams Creator. When you see trees, anything that's created, it screams God. There's no excuse. Nobody can say, I didn't know. That's not true. It just says they are without excuse. God's not going to buy it. I mean, I really made one of the students laugh the other day. Some atheist got up, and one of the guys, the seniors are really into the Word. They love the Word of God. And so this guy was going, man, this guy was an atheist, and he kind of got up in my face. And I said, you know what? Just do this next time. Just look at him and go, you know what? God does not believe in atheists. And he busted out laughing. He thought, that's good. I'm going to use it. I said, just do it. Verse 21, because although they knew God, look at this. These are people that knew God. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. There's the thanksgiving again, right? But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. See the digression? And I want to tell you this, ingratitude is the last step before rebellion. Did you hear what I said? Ingratitude is the last step before rebellion. There's always something to be thankful for. Amen? Number five, this is the last key we'll look at, and it's be submissive to trusted members of your company. See, it said in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Go over to James chapter 5. We need each other. Did you hear me? We need each other. That's what these home gatherings are about. Every time that I've been to one of the home gatherings, it is so refreshing. You need to get involved in those things. A lot of times it's a challenge just to go. But I never, ever regret going. In fact, it's a challenge to get out of there so I can get to bed. Because we just want to linger and stay. It's so refreshing. In James chapter 5, look at verse 13. And it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. There's a thought. Let who pray? Who should be praying? If somebody's suffering, who should pray? The sufferer. There you go. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. I do that for my kids, much to their chagrin. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him call. Let him call. I've had people get offended because I didn't discern their sickness. And I want to read them the scripture. If you're sick, call me. I'm not always dialed in. I might be distracted. I could be dry. Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, when we say elders, that's not some committee. That's not a board that makes all the decisions in the church. It's somebody who's mature in this thing. We have a lot of elders in this church. A lot of elders. Most of you are elders. Most of you are seasoned ministers. And we could go to any one of you and get you to pray for our sickness. You really should call on somebody to do that. And it says, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save. That's the word sozo. You know what it means? Wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. The prayer of faith will bring wholeness. Amen? Think about the lepers. Remember the 10 lepers? Jesus healed them and said, now go show yourself to the priest, right? And only one came back to give thanks. Remember that? And he was made whole. How many of you know you can have leprosy and you'd be missing some digits, right? You'd be missing some fingers and parts of your body. They rot. They fall off. Well, you can be healed. The leprosy can stop, but you still got the damage from the leprosy. But the one that went back and gave thanks, he was not only healed, he was made whole. He got his fingers back. We're talking about being grateful. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Getting with the right people. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. You know, literally, this is talking about be vulnerable. If you've got a challenge, if you've got a struggle going on, this isn't about going and sitting in some confessional and making a list of all the junk you've done. Go to somebody and say, man, I am struggling in this area. Join your faith with me. Pray with me. That's what this is talking about. And then our job as part of the company is to shoulder in with them. Let me walk this with you. Man, we need that. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you read that in the Amplified, it says makes much power available, dynamic in its working. It works. The prayers of the righteous, it works. It works. Sometimes people say, well, the least we can do is pray. That is not the least you can do. That's the best thing to do. You need to start with prayer. Now, if I get sick, I'll go to a doctor. Not against medical science. But I pray before I go. I pray when I get there. I pray when I leave. If I get a prescription, I pray over the pills. Anoint these pills. Let them do exactly what they're designed to do. In fact, I'll get better results than what they expect. There's nothing wrong with that. In closing, let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 5. You've been a joyous bunch today. I'm full today. And it feels wonderful. Ephesians 5, look at verse 15. And you know what? Before we read that, I need to repent to you for letting myself get dry. It's not good if your leader's out of gas, right? You all have to stop. And I don't put that kind of pressure on myself that I have to do this for everybody else, but it matters. I have to minister from the abundance. I'm not just going and getting a book report. Oh, man, I got to preach Saturday. What am I going to do? It should never be like that. It should always be from an abundance, amen? So please forgive me for letting myself get dry. I'm not dry now. Glory to God. Ephesians 5, look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. We'll do those things. We'll never be dry. Amen. Well, ushers, if you'll come, we'll get ready to receive this evening's offer.